First Cheney University came through. They saw the vision, put in the work. Then other institutions slowly grew. Equality of education is what we wanted too. Now we have about 107 HBCUs in this crew. When we work together, there's nothing we can't pursue. The love I have for you, it's not new. That's why I thank you, HBCU, in all that you do.
Mentally or physically, success can be defined as getting up one more time after you've been knocked down over and over and over again. I'm T. Wood, and this is Triumphal Moments, where I highlight significant moments in life that are far beyond the surface to inform, encourage, and inspire people to triumph over their life's challenges. With me today, I have my brother, Dr. Shelby Chipman, who is from Miami, Florida. He received his Bachelor's of Science degrees in Computer Science and Music Education from the Florida A&M University. He got his Master's degree in Music Education from the University of Illinois and a Ph.D. degree in Music Education from Florida State University. He is the Director of Bands at FAMU, home of the world-famous Marching 100. Dr. Chipman is married with one son. My brother, welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, T. Wood. Wow, thank you for that warm introduction. I need to take you on a roll with me, man. That's fabulous, man. Awesome.
No problem at all. Now, look, it's hard to say it, but I'm going to jump right onto it. What does a normal, I don't know if I can say that, what is a normal, I guess, Monday through Friday day look like for you just waking up in the morning? Is there a ritual or certain things that you do?
I tell you, let me start. Let me just get it on out there. So a typical day in the life of myself would be, first of all, I wear multiple hats. Not only am I a man of faith and, of course, married to my lovely wife, high school sweetheart, and son, but also I direct the Florida University Marching Band, Wind Symphony. I also I'm coordinator as well as artistic director of a community orchestra here in town, Big Band Community Orchestra. Wow. I teach classes for the undergraduate students and assist with student interns who go out to the public schools. Right. I said, in addition to that, I do things in the community as relates to the public schools and visiting programs to be encouraging to the middle school and high school music teachers here. Right. And my biggest hat that I'm wearing right now is I recently was appointed the president of Florida Music Education Association, and that encompasses about 18,000 music teachers from K through 21 that represents general music, chorus, band, and orchestra, and I'm just humbled to serve in this capacity for the next 2 years. So my typical day starts with a lot of emails being sent, trying to stay one day ahead of the schedule as relates to things that I have to get done, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected and required.
That's real.
And so, long days, but a lot of good days. And at the end of the day, you know, I get the opportunity to do things like this and collaborate and offer whatever advice I can offer to, you know, those who are near and far.
That is wonderful. Look, Doug, I didn't have my rag with me, but I was wiping sweat beads off as you continue to press on with the different roles that you manage. I thank God for that and what you do to push through in that and the effect that you have on the youth. I want to ask, though, you know, how was it growing up in Miami, Florida? Siblings, mom, dad, how was that? How would you describe it?
Wow, it was awesome. You know, fortunate, my mom was a elementary school music teacher in Miami. Unfortunately, my father, who was in the military, passed when I was 7. I'm the youngest of 4 siblings. We had 3 boys and 1 girl. Okay. And of course, we all went on to do great things in high school and graduate. You know, 2 of us, if you know high schools in Dade County, my sister and I attended Miami Northwestern High School, home of the Bulls. Okay. And both of my brothers attended Miami Jackson Senior High School back in the day. And 2 of them went to the Army. And my brother, one of my brothers went to FAMU in the 70s. And then, of course, I came here as well.
Wow.
And so we were humble beginnings because when my father passed, my mom never remarried. and that she just kept working one job, sometimes two jobs, to make sure we had ends meet and keep the program in place, the family that is, program in place, and be that role model, and eventually being the matriarch within our family. And just a lot of good things, a lot of life lessons that we learned growing up in that one two-bedroom house with four of us, really five with my mom, of course, and doing just amazing things. And of course, I had the opportunity to be the youngest, so I got kind of pushed around a lot, but it made me tough growing up in that household and prepared me for a lot of things that sometimes you can't expect, you know, when you leave the household. And so it was just magnificent to grow up in that household and have my mom being that iron fist to lead us along the way.
And I was about to ask you, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit. Now, being the youngest, I'm trying to figure out sometimes, is it always, it's not always the oldest that kind of takes the helm and kind of boss the other siblings around. So you wasn't bossing the siblings around. It sounds like they was pretty much trying to, you know, who's leading that? Who was pretty much the last say-so between the siblings?
So between our siblings, it was my second oldest brother. Uh-oh. His name is Vernon. So we had Daryl, who was the oldest. Okay. You know, he was the one who was kind of suave kind of personality and whatnot, and had all the slick, you know, jewelry and the clothes and whatnot. Then it was my other brother, who was very focused, very detailed, very structured. And his approach, no nonsense, straight shooter. And then, of course, my sister, being the only girl, she was the one that was the cheerleader and did dancing. And, you know, we looked up to her. And then, of course, it was me. I was the only one that was a musician growing up.
Now, hold on. You described how each had their personality. So you got to say yours, too, growing up. Now, would you say you had a piece of everybody what you described, or were you more, would you say you were shy, were you more boisterous?
I was the conservative one. Okay. And to this day, they always look at me as the book smart, the conservative one out of the group. You know, I was always going to take a moment to think through everything. Okay. You know, some of them responded very quickly, but me, I would always just kind of take a minute to pause. And even to this day, that's my leadership style, and that's my style. I'm going to always sit back, listen, observe, record, process, and then process the information and move forward and making my decision. And so when I was given that trumpet during my sixth grade year back in the day in Miami, that started my way into becoming a musician that I am today through middle school and high school participation in band.
Wow. See, that leads me to ask, you know, what played a key role? Who or what played a key role in you attending the Florida A&M University?
Well, that's a great question, because I owe everything really to my uncle who bought me my first trumpet, Jesse Kelly. Wow. And he was a minister in the AME church. Okay. And then, of course, when I started middle school band in sixth and seventh grade, my middle school band director was a graduate of Florida A&M University. And he played in the band in the 60s during those early days. And it's ironic, T. Wood, that his brother was the band director at the high school where I went, Miami Northwestern. So I got both of the Rose brothers, Ferris Rose in middle school and Herbert Rose in high school. And so there was that lineage and that link to me finding out more about Florida A&M through us coming here to home for homecoming, as well as band staff members here from FAMU coming down to Tallahassee and auditioning students in Miami. And lo and behold, my 12th grade year, I was drum major at Miami Northwestern High School that year. Dr. Julian E. White was conducting what we call the Dade County Superintendent's All-County Band, which they picked the best of the best from the district.
Oh, they picked the best of the best of
the district. Yeah, you have to audition. And I made the cut that year, and he was guest conductor. That's right, no pressure. Okay. And before he did the conducting, he went around to the schools. And, of course, he went to Northwestern and auditioned myself and a couple others, and I received the scholarship to attend FAMU. I know without that scholarship, I probably wouldn't have been able to attend just because of the circumstances my family was dealing with at the time. So I looked to my uncle for that purchasing that trumpet, and then that middle school band director who attended FAMU, and his brother who was also from FAMU. And the lineage is right there. And then Dr. White auditioned me, and I came here and studied under Dr. William P. Foster and Dr. White.
Well, again, it pours me into the next stage in this question here. Now, since you've come on, you have maintained the level of excellence, the high level of expectations that come with being a leader, part of the Marching 100. How are you able to balance that mentally? Let's say this. What are some key things maybe in your life that you either have done or that you use to just kind of keep yourself self-balanced and be able to, okay, I got to take care of this.
Yeah.
I got to take care of that. That's next. This, still get your spirituality in, family. You know, what are some key things that for you that works?
Well, one thing is important. Like I said, my wife, we met at Northwestern High School Sweethearts back in the day. And of course, she attended Bethune-Cookman College, and I attended FAMU. She was 1 year behind me.
So you didn't hold that against, well, that was before, okay, okay.
So that was, I mean, and so we had to, first of all, learn how to date and stay in contact. No cell phones during that time, of course. And so the long-distance relationship taught a lot of discipline. Of course, she was at Cookman. She pledged AKA Alpha Kappa Alpha, and I was here and pledged Kappa
Shouts
Alpha
out to
Psi.
The AKAs. Okay.
And I was here and I pledged Kappa Alpha Psi. But we learned how to not only have that brother or that sister to assist us as relates to getting through college and having that kind of relationships that we built along the way.
Right.
We learned that, you know, we loved each other. And so that started it all. And I think about those humble beginnings and that relationship that we have and building the discipline that we need to have. And that was back in 1982, 83, and we're still together. Wow. And so I use that as a humbling start to say that the discipline and that relationship helped prepare us for so many other things that I had to do as it relates to being a high school band director in the Miami area for 10 years when she was down there as well. And we developed the program. I was one that was into sports. So as it relates to having that happy balance, of course, I'm a Christian, and so attending church is very important and being of faith. And so that creates that balance within one that's very important. And then, of course, as it relates to sports, you know, I'm an advocate basketball fan, go Lakers, of course. And then also, you know, I would go out and play basketball. I ride my bike a lot. She rides her bike a lot. And so doing those kinds of things helps to bring about that balance that you need to have beyond just going into this band room every day. As much as I love my high school students and boosters and the community, that was very important for me to make sure that I was balanced and doing the other things just to kind of get me away and just kind of take a breath.
Right.
And yes.
Do you ever find yourself having to, like, be kind of sharp with that? Because, you know, and understanding that a lot of people could use a lot of things. We all have our different situations that happen and help. But did you ever have to say, okay, it's like being at work and forcing yourself to shut that computer off.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had to say, okay, I understand this, but I got to get this time. I got to do this so that I'm squared away, I'm focused, and I'm ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's very important. You know, you have to get away from that screen, especially nowadays. And I guess when I was growing up, we didn't have to worry about the computers.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, it's like we don't want to go back to the typewriters either. So you got to keep up with the times. But at the same time, you have to get away and just have some time for yourself, have some time for your family. You know, we've even during this COVID era, you know, we've set up these monthly Zoom calls with the family members. And some mm-hmm. months it'll be, you know, like 30, 40 people on this Zoom call with just family members, just saying. Hello. We got one on September 14th, the now patriot of our family, who started me on my way with playing with Casey and the Sunshine Band. She's one of the original backup singers of my Aunt Beverly. Her birthday is September 14th. So we're doing this big Zoom call in honor of her. But that balance that we have to have is so important.
Mm. See, that... When you say she's actually the matriarch of your family?
Yes.
That leads me to, I understand that in life, as long as we keep breathing, as long as we're able to see another day and keep pressing forward, you're going to run into some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hit some things that can either break you apart or that you hold on and find a way to get strengthened up from it and press forward. If you were to take a pause and think about something in your life that was challenging, completely challenging, but you either found a way to overcome it
mm-hmm.
or you found a way to cope with it, what would it be?
I would definitely have to say it was the death of my mother. Mm-hmm. And it also happened during the time that we experienced tragedy here in the band department with the death of one of our students who happened to be a drum major.
Right.
And so that coupled with the death of my mother within about a 3-month period was certainly one of the most challenging moments I've ever experienced in my life. There have been other things that come along the way, but there's nothing like the loss of a mother. And of course, you know, we knew that her health was declining, but we knew that knowing her, she would want us to press on, the siblings that is. And that's what we did. You know, we had to find the strength within to press on and do the things that mom would have wanted us to do, knowing that when we grew up in that house and it was just she and the four of us, and all the adversity that she had to deal with, you know, during the time of the 60s and, you know, all the riots down in Miami and, you know, the haves versus the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we just had to press on. And that's exactly what we did. And I look back to those life stories that we had that she would share with us during that time. And I know that's what helped us to get through it. They were able to deal with, when I say they, meaning our people with segregation during those times, I knew that we could press on through this particular time. But that was probably one of the most difficult times that I've had in my lifespan here on Earth.
Do you think that, or do you feel that it was more self-driven strength, or was it people or things around you that helped you to get to the point to get through that, is what I'm saying?
I would say it was a combination of both, because I had some people, individuals, my mom passed, I know they called me every day for a couple of months. There were some personal friends, fraternity brothers, 100 members, colleagues here in the Department of Music and on campus, because my mom was very popular in the Dade County School Board area.
Okay.
And so a lot of people knew of her because she would come to the home games. She went to the Florida Classic every year and sat with the band.
Dedicated.
And so when she passed away, it hit more than just the Chipman family. It hit others. So there were some people to help us get through that time. And that was certainly very helpful and supportive to what we had to
do. So she was like a mother of many then?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Band staff members would come down to Miami to recruit. And I was taught at Miami Central High School, and she and my aunt would cook for them. And so they grew very attached to her. Them collard greens and mac and cheese, you know what I'm talking about.
Come on, see, after this.
And so they felt very attached to her.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. See, I tell you what, when you say that, it's amazing how our mothers or grandmothers, mm-hmm. they have a way of expressing their love through their cooking too. Would mm-hmm. you agree?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, you participated, or I can't say participated, you understand how the love exists within different organizations, mm-hmm. In particular Greek organizations. What would you say is one of those Greek organizations out there, which, you know, tend to some place?
I guess one T-Wood that comes to the top of my mind. Let me see if I can see if I got anyone to help represent. Here's one, everybody. Camera 1, 2, or 3. Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated comes to mind. Brothers. Spring 84, Alpha Z, right here at Florida A&M University, former pole mark.
Brothers of Omega, I'm sorry. He knew the script. I don't know what he's talking about. God. Major shout out. But with that being said, would you say that Greek fraternities play a key role? Just even, I mean, at many schools, but a little special something within the HBCU. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I would say the Divine Nine, you know, all of them, mm-hmm. to include the sororities and fraternities, have a special part in not only the Greek life, but the on-campus life, and certainly the community outreach that many of them have in place. All of them have different goals and mission statements, but there's some core values that all of us share as relates to what we're trying to do, not only for those students that are on campus to build better individuals that are within our organization, but certainly long after all of us have left college and the better people that we're going to create in our different communities where we go.
Wow. Wow. Is there anything that you would see that stands out about the relationship between you and your siblings? If you had to describe the type of relationship, you know, would you say type? Niche, would you say y'all were kind of like, I mean, some brothers and sisters, they express it through, you know, my sister kind of jumped on me a couple times growing up until my height started kicking in. But how would you describe the relationship between your siblings?
Yeah, I would say our relationship is very close. We're very close knit in terms of making sure that we're, every 3 days, if we don't hear from each other, that's a problem. Mm. And that's now, and I'm the youngest at 57, and my oldest brother, I want to say, is 63 or 64 years old. And even to this day, if 3 days go past and we have not spoken to each other, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So the close-knit relationship is very important. Family is important in how we make sure that we stay in communication with each other, because life is short.
Oh, come on now. Mm-hmm. Would you say that kind of way of thinking, or that type of relationship, would you say that carries over into your style of teaching or your style of leading?
Absolutely. I would say that, you know, I'm an on person, a doors open kind of person. My office, that is, doors always open for the students. They know that. They can come in that office and talk to me at any point in time. Sometimes the students are a little apprehensive because they probably think, well, that's Dr. Chip. And I'm like, man, I'm Joe Blow. I'm from Liberty City down in Miami. Come on in here. Let's talk. But absolutely, you know, conversations are certainly very important, especially now we know this is a computer generated, you know, what do they call it, a microwave kind of generation. They want everything like this. Yeah. And sometimes it don't work like that. You know, mm-hmm. patience of the virtue. So
I thought you were going to say back in my day. Hold on. You know, but I tell you what, if you wanted to say to someone, or even just better yet to the youth, some words of wisdom that you felt would be encouraging for them. Let me put it to you like this. This is a phrase I created called encouragement for free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you think back to whether it's something that we spoke about during this podcast episode or something that you might have learned growing
mm-hmm.
up,
mm-hmm.
your mother, your father, you know, anything that you might have learned growing up, but just something, a creed that you live by, to all of the listeners, or even the youth or to adult, what is some encouragement for free that you can leave with them mm-hmm. right now?
You know, I would say, short and sweet, your character. Because your character is who you are when your parents are not around, and how you go about articulating and what you say, how you go about your dress. You don't have to be dressed up in shirt and tie, but how you go about in terms of what you present to others. Because when you think somebody's not looking out there, somebody's watching you. And at some point in time, you want to have the kind of character that if T. Wood or Shelby Chipman or whomever comes up and needs to give you a letter of recommendation right. or a voucher on your behalf,
right.
you would have done the right things that we would want to be able to do and give you the kind of recommendation you would need. So I would say to folks out there, and students in particular, young adults that is,
right.
be mindful of the character, because it is who you are once you go out that door.
Come on, Doc. I had to take a pause on that because it's that important.
Yes.
Right now, if you had to take one last, just one quick thought and step back, let's say your mother and your father. Now, I know more particularly of your mother. You know, your father died, passed at an earlier age.
Right.
But with your mother also in particular, when you look at your life and the efforts and the things that you've attempted and the things that you never quit on,
mm-hmm.
and the things that you've done and sacrificed in order to invest in someone else, the youth. Looking back over your life, if mother was around, what would you say to her, knowing what you tried to do to this point?
Wow, that's powerful. And I think about, immediately as you asked that question, I'm thinking about my dissertation towards my doctorate degree. Because my doctorate degree, my dissertation was centered around at-risk students and how middle school and high school band programs can save students from dropping out of school and keeping them encouraged to stay in school and going on to get scholarships. And so as I did the research on at-risk students, and I surveyed Florida band directors, 500 of them, and 400 of them responded back to me, I found out a lot of data that relates to how being encouraging and, of course, having plans of action that meets the needs of all students, not just some students, but all students, regardless if they're from rural programs, suburban programs, et cetera. And that data helped to drive me to assist other programs throughout the state as I started to write articles and do presentations to different band programs around the country. And so I would say that my mom would feel very proud, and knowing that I started that journey. And I finished that journey with hopes not to just for self-gratification, but to help others do better and become better persons and participate in music and keep music alive.
Right. It's something about music that people tend to underestimate. Ain't it amazing how certain tunes can put you in a different positive mood?
Yeah, absolutely. I think about FAMU and Incomparable Marching 100. I mean, we play everything, T. Wood, from the classics to Bruno Mars to Whitney Houston to Casey and the Sunshine Band through you name it. We play it all. And that's important because this is the kind of music that people listen to on their radios. And so one of the driving forces that I learned from Dr. William P. Foster, the founder of the 100, and of course this is our 75th year of existence, of course, Dr. White, is to make sure that we reach the people. And as the director of bands here now, I'm going to make sure that we always reach the people, because that's very important. Stay relevant.
Doc, is there anything that people, is there any other websites or any social media sites, anything that people can follow to just follow the band, the march, excuse me, hold up. The Marching 100. I'm going to mess that up. The Marching 100. Is there some certain place that they can go to follow that?
Yeah, so we're navigating everybody now to our FAMUBands.com page. That's our main website that we like to take all students there, especially those that may be in middle school and high school and may be interested in attending our summer band camp that we've had over 500, 600 students to attend. It's a week-long camp.
Right.
As well as students who may be interested in coming to FAMU and participating in the band and knowing, finding out more about audition requirements and academic requirements to get into FAMU. And then, of course, for the high school band directors that may want to know more about festivals that we hold, such as the Florida Classic, Battle Bands, and Homecoming Parade. So we navigate them all to the famubands.com. And then also on that page, our hashtags for the Twitter account as well as the Instagram account also there.
Is there, last but not least, is there something that you can say to potential interested youth who admire and love Absolutely. And want to one day be a part of the March of 100? Is there any qualities that you feel that they need to have to successfully be a part?
Absolutely, T-Wood. Academic achievement.
Come on.
It is so important. I know it sounds cliche, everybody, but academic excellence is so important. And to get into Florida A&M University, Stellar One institution, you have to have outstanding scholastic achievement in the classroom. That means GPAs that are plus 3.5, and of course ACT and SAT scores have to be appropriate at the higher end, such as 26, 27. So I would tell students to not procrastinate as relates to being, you know, good studious in the classroom.
Get on it.
And you got to get them grades, and you got to have great test scores. And then the music, of course, you know, all that information is on our website, so I would encourage them to visit our website to find out what the audition requirements are with scales and other studies they have to perform.
Dr. Chipman, you know from the heart, you know I really appreciate you taking our time to come here on the show, and I just wanted to let you know that from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate that, and I thank you.
And I appreciate you for the opportunity, man. Anything we can do and I can do to support you Likewise. Moving forward, and look Likewise. Forward to having you come and give a shout-out and inspirational message to the members of the marching band later on during homecoming. Looking
Will
forward
do.
To having you.
Will do. Yep. Will do. As I've said before, sometimes in life, you must fail in order to succeed. But one thing must remain certain. Under no circumstances do you ever, ever, ever give up. I'm Trying for Moments with T. Wood. I'm with my brother, Dr. Chipman. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, thank you, my brother.
Thank you.